and welcome to Dak and Rick's Pod. I'm Dak.
And I'm Rick.
And this is the Father Son Podcast where we talk about all things sports. And today we are back after a summer-long vacation. We have new sound effects, new fun. We even have a censor button. Let's see how that works. I think it just censored me out. I really don't know how this works. I can also,
hello.
I can also sound like a robot
here, I think.
Anyways, we're back. 1 month off, recharged, ready for football season as it's just begun. The Miami Hurricanes blew out Bethune-Cookman. What do you have to say about that game?
Well, you know, it was an interesting game. It was a blowout. 70-13 was the final score. You know, everyone expected it, to be totally frank with you. Everyone expected that this would happen. So what can I tell you?
Yep. You know, at least the not the Dolphins. We'll talk about the Dolphins in a little bit. At least the Hurricanes showed out. I'm a little disappointed in their 13 points that they allowed with Bethune-Cookman. It was 70-13, the final score, which I know, 70 points, very impressive. But 13 points, when the last time you guys met, you allowed zero? I don't know. What do you have to say?
Well, you know, it was the first game of the season. You know, it's a new coach, new head coach, a new defensive coach, offensive coach. You know, everyone is
that
basically
is very
new. But, you know, I saw them so invigorated. I saw these coaches so emotional, so excited, so, you know, in tune with the players and with the fans, I got to tell you. You know, I saw Jason Taylor, former, you know, linebacker.
Miami Dolphins, great.
Yep. I saw him on the field. I saw him, you know, running to the students, running to the players, talking to them, exciting them, motivating them. You know, what can I tell you? I saw that, you know, our head coach. The head coach was amazing with
Mario,
the kids.
Mario.
Mario was doing great. He was, you know, totally, I was watching him as they were practicing before the kickoff, and it was just amazing.
He was there with the O-line. He was getting them ready, and the Miami fans showed out. It was pretty packed, Hard Rock Stadium, probably the most packed we'd seen in since, like, that year.
Well, it was interesting because when I first sat down there, I said, oh, my God, it's sort of empty. And then all of a sudden, as soon
as... Well, we also got there, like, 2 hours early. But, you know, that's part of everything. Anyways, let's talk about some stats, and let's talk about the man who has just returned home, well, metaphorically home, to Miami. Number 21, Henry Parrish Jr., Columbus product. And man, Mario Cristobal likes his Columbus guys because he fed him 108 yards and 14 carries and 4-3 touchdowns. What do you have to say about Henry Parrish and that dominant run game? Because also Thaddeus Franklin had 2 touchdowns, 78 yards, and the rest of the run game was really, really strong. What do you have to say about it?
There's not too much to say other than the fact that, you know, listen, I don't know how Bethune...
I don't know if that got caught. Let's see. Well, what do you think, maybe better to answer, do you think this can translate to the more important opponents like Texas A&M? Because at the end of the day, Bethune-Cookman won't give you that level of competition that you need. If you're the Miami Hurricanes, you're supposedly the 16th ranked team in the nation. They're not. Bethune-Cookman's not there to prove, the new Miami is here.
Right. We won't know that. We won't know that for a couple more games. You know, let's be honest. The next game they have next weekend
versus Southern Miss.
Right.
Is not.
Right. But then the following game is a
Texas A&M.
More Texas. That's where we're going to really, determine
what this team is.
What this team is about. What impact the new coaches have made into it. You know, the player. I mean, Van Dyke was really on point. I like the quarterback.
He definitely was. He was 13 for 16, 193 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
And then, he played
Jake
the first
Garcia.
Two quarters.
Do you want to hear about him?
Well, he
perfect game from him. 8 for 8, 107 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions.
But, I mean, I saw them play with a level of maturity that Jake Garcia, he can be a nice, you know, it's, for the future, he's going to be
It's definitely
good for
Tyler Van Dyke's time right now. But
right.
In 2 years when, a year, when Van Dyke heads over to the NFL, God willing, because, you know, we hope our Miami Hurricanes make it over there.
Well, it's
Jake Garcia's
he's
here
you know,
to stay.
Van Dyke appears to me. I mean, listen, we got to wait. It's too early. It's the first game. It was against, you know, a D1 team. But the reality is that we got to wait.
We didn't even punt the ball once. The punter looked so bored. He's one of my favorite players, Lou Headley. He looked so bored that game.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And anyways, so the proof of the pudding, Dak, is going to be versus Texas A&M. So we got to wait and see. But in the meantime, it's very
celebrate
positive.
Celebrate the wins.
Let's celebrate. Let's, you know, acknowledge it. Let's see what, you know, I mean, this was a game so that they can look at the film, see what they did good, see what they didn't do so good, and see how they're going to improve.
It's a tune-up game.
Absolutely. Absolutely right.
Well, now let's talk about the defensive side of the ball. As one of our hometown favorites, Coral Gables senior high graduate, number 3, Gilbert Frierson, got a pick 6 On top of that, there was, I think, two other turnovers. Let me see. They threw three interceptions. Miami only lost one fumble, which that was very disappointing to me. When Miami lost that fumble, I was like, no way. But Miami did, in comparison to them, beat them 605 yards to 342 yards, 31 touchdowns in comparison to 13. They were perfect on third down efficiency, where Bethune-Cookman just wasn't. Miami held the ball a little bit shorter than them by about a minute, give or take. But Miami did have 10 more plays than they did. But let's talk about that defense 1 second. And let's focus in on them and talk about some guys like a Palmetto product, Leonard Taylor. He did really good on that defensive line, number 56, as well as talking about Gilbert Frierson getting that pick six.
Right.
What do you have to say about the defensive unit as a whole?
You know, they worked. They seemed to work. It appears to me that they seem to work cohesively. So they're working together. They're working as a team. You know, no one's a star there. They're all working towards the same goal, which is, I think, what's important when you're looking at the big picture here. The big picture is, you know, getting to that goal line. I think that that's what they're doing, and I think that's what Cristobal has brought to Cristobal and his team. That's what they've brought to, and when I say his team, I'm talking about the coaches. I think that's what they brought to the table. That's what they brought to the U.
Well, we'll definitely have to wait and see as next week they go up against Southern Miss. Any predictions on that score? Should be another, hopefully, high-scoring game for the Canes. Any predictions?
No predictions. I agree with you. It is going to be a high-scoring game. But, you know, we're taking it for granted. Anytime you go up against another team, if you're not well-prepared, if you're not, you know, not only prepared physically but mentally, you know, you can lose a game. And it's important that we don't take them for granted, that we don't take Bethune-Cookman for granted, that we take these opponents serious, and that we work our hardest to make sure that we prevail. And obviously, it would be great if we're going against a team that's not that strong, that we score a number of points like we did yesterday. I know you're disappointed with the 13, but I'm really not. I'm glad that we got the 70 and that they only got 13. So I think that that's something that we can look forward to next week against
Southern Miss.
And then, you know, I'm very excited. I can't wait for the following week after that one. I want to see them against Texas A&M. That's what I'm looking for.
That is definitely going
to
be a big one. But
because that's going to determine what the Canes are this year, how the Canes are this year. And I know they're going to play over there.
Yeah, so they play at Texas A&M September 17th, right. Number 6 team in the nation currently at 9 p.m. So it's a primetime game. Everybody's going to have their eyes on that one. Any score predictions for that one, or are we saving that for next week's show?
I'm saving that for next week's show. Let me see how they do with Miss, and we'll take it from there.
All righty. Well, with that being said, we're going to head into our first break. And we're back to talk some Miami Dolphins football. And as we all get excited, it is finally here. We finally have football on our television screens as the New England Patriots come to town on September 11th to face your Miami Dolphins.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We're going to go up against Bill Belichick. And let's see how Tua, you know, from what I remember and what I saw recently, Tua has been 3-0 against Belichick. What do you think?
Yes, he has been 3-0, and hopefully he'll continue that streak.
And, you know, now he has Tyreek Hill, and I'm excited to see them perform against, listen, you know, Belichick, you know how great he is as a coach. I don't know how great the team is, but they've always, obviously, they had Brady in the past. So, you know, they've been a strong competitor. They've beat us a number of times. But now without Brady, now let's see what they are able to do. But more importantly, it's not without Brady. I could care less whether Brady was there or Brady wasn't there. It's what are we doing? What is McDaniel doing and his team doing with Tua, with Tyreek Hill? How are we moving the Dolphins forward? That's what we care about. I don't care about the other team. I don't care how great Belichick's record is. I don't care how great, you know, Brady used to be. Brady's not there anymore. But regardless, if he's there, if he's not there, I don't care who's there. Who's the quarterback now?
Mac Jones.
I could care less. I could care less. See, I didn't even know who he was. And I know that what I care about is Tua. What I want to see is Tua move that ball forward, get to the end zone, whether it's a run game, whether it's, you know, the wide receivers, whatever he has to do, let's get it done.
All right. But now talking about the additions this offseason, Tyreek Hill, Chase Edmonds at running back, Raheem Mostert at running back, Teron Armstead at left tackle, along with numerous other names across the board. We also talk about some key players departing, and the Dolphins traded away Devontae Parker to these New England Patriots. What do you have to say about the Devontae Parker revenge game?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I'm sure he's going to want to perform well. I'm sure he's practicing his tail off. I'm sure he's working hard. You know, he wants to show the Dolphins they made a big mistake, a big error in getting rid of him. But, you know, again, I could care less about them. I'm really focused on Tua. I'm really focused on McDaniel. I'm really focused on what he's done with this offense, what he's done with the defense, how he's moving this team forward. That's where my focus is. I don't care about the other teams. I don't care about our opponents. I want to see what McDaniel has done. You know, I'm tired. Every time we get a new quarterback, oh, this is going to be the guy. Oh, we got a new coach. This is going to be the guy. Oh, we're going to, you know, no, let's see now how it's all coming together. I know that Greer has spent a lot of time. I know that Ross has spent a lot of money. So let's see the Dolphins really take it to another level. Thank you. Good point. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, we talked a lot about offense. Offense is not the only side of the football. We also have defense and, of course, special teams, my favorite part. But it's not about me. It's about the Dolphins. And the defense, at the end of the day, there's some question marks right now. You have Xavier Howard and Byron Jones, who are your two big money corners. And Byron Jones is right now out for the first four games. So that leaves Nick Needham, then Keon Crossan, and then the guy we all love to hate, Noah Igbinoghene. Like, man. Because, you know, Xavier Howard's very injury prone. Right now, Nick Needham is questionable after a preseason injury. Do we think the Dolphins need to trade or do something dramatic at the cornerback position? Or do you wait those four games and wait for your all-star or Pro Bowl level corner to come back? But also, you know, you're giving up a lot of talent because one guy goes down, Noah Igbinoghene is going to be your guy.
Well, and that's going to be a problem. You know, Xavier Howard is, you know, he always performs. He does well. Hopefully he'll be healthy and he'll be able to take care of his side. But what about the other side? You know, that's...
Yeah, Nick Needham goes down and then Noah Igbinoghene.
With our guy being out there, you know, for four games, that's going to be tough. With Byron Jones being out, that's going to be difficult. Hopefully, you know, they'll be able to cover at least for four games and not cause us too much damage. But, you know, I mean, what are we going to do?
Look, the good thing is,
recruit every time someone gets, you know, one of our star players gets injured. I don't know.
Yeah, but you definitely recruit some better talent than Noah Igbinoghene. But, you know, that's not here nor there.
Well,
anyways,
let me ask you this. Can McDaniel do that at this point? Can Greer do that at this point?
Yeah, you can go get a free agent who's probably better, but they just probably don't want to spend the money.
I don't know about the money. I mean, I think that the Dolphins, through the ownership, have spent a lot of money. I think they're willing to put the money forward if they can find the right people that can mesh into their program.
Well, look, the good thing is New England and Baltimore don't really have super-duper strong wide receivers. Of course, you have Buffalo with Stephon Diggs and Cincinnati with Ja'Marr Chase. But generally speaking, those four games, you should be fine with Xavier Howard and shouldn't be overexposed in that case. So
for this coming game, where's our former wide receiver going to be? Is he going to be in the Xavier's Howard side?
I have no clue.
Do you think they're going to put him on the other side to really try to cause some damage?
I have no clue because, to be honest, Bill Belichick doesn't even have a guy running the offense right now. So who knows what that mind is going through right now? That man, his mind, what is going through his mind? Because how do you go the entire offseason without naming an offensive coordinator? I don't know. And he's not really like, there's like, you know, there's guys like Brian Flores who they say there's a defensive guy. You have guys like Mike McDaniel who they say is the offensive guru.
Right.
You've had Adam Gase before, the quarterback guru. Usually, but Bill Belichick's kind of just a great head coach. There's no specific thing that you say, oh yeah, he does that well. I guess maybe more towards the defensive side, but still, like, he's not this genius offensive mind. But at the end of the day, do you question him? No. Like, what, you can only imagine what's going on right now in New England.
You know, maybe he's decided that he's going to take over. Obviously, he's decided that when they haven't gotten anybody. But, you know, it might be good. It might be interesting to see. Listen, he stayed. Everyone thought that when Brady left, he was going to retire. He was going to leave on a
high.
On a high.
Call it a day.
And, you know, he didn't. He stayed on. So he, I'm sure.
I think he has something left to prove.
Absolutely. I think he does. I think he's a competitor. I think he knows he's the GOAT or one of the GOATs in the coaching department there. So the reality is, you do not underestimate Bill Belichick. Do not underestimate his team. Do not underestimate his strategies. You know, he's full of, you know, this guy has so much experience and a track record of really performing that nobody can underestimate what he's doing or what he's thinking or how he's going about, you know, preparing for this game.
No, most definitely. And who knows what the future holds for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. But like you said, Who cares?
Who cares? But I'm sure he's looking at the Super Bowl. He's, you know, he's not staying on just to stay on. He doesn't need the money.
Oh, no, yeah, 100%.
You know, he's doing this.
He's doing this for his own legacy and to prove if Brady got one, I can get one as well.
And to prove he can do it without Brady.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess you can say he kind of did it without Brady because if it wasn't for his quarterback getting injured, Brady would never even played.
That's true.
So, and they made it to the Super Bowl. Right. So, you know, technically he's kind of did it, but I guess Brady did seal the deal at the end of the day.
Absolutely,
so,
he did.
And then, there's a little bit for both.
But, you know, again, you know, I want to see McDaniel. I want to see him and what he's done and how he's moving this team forward. That's, to me, that's more important than anyone that's coming forward. Because, for instance, you can bring the Super Bowl champs, and they may be as better than they were when they became Super Bowl champs. But I want to see what our team has
What's going on now.
And how we're able to really move the ball forward, how we're able to defend the ball, how we're able to work on the special teams. You know, I mean, those are, it's a whole package of things that have to take place. And that's what I want to say. Listen, I'm excited. I'm excited for the Dolphins. I think they're going to do great this year. I think they're really...
All right, wait. Now, speaking about them doing great, there are 18 weeks in the season. You have your one bye week, so there's 17 games. What is your record prediction? You know, do general math. I don't know if you'll miss a game or two.
I don't know what my general prediction is, but I see them
12-5, 11-6.
You know, they've had 11-6. What did they do last year?
Like 7-9 or 8-8. They have not hit that peak in a very long time.
I think they'll do the 12.
I'll give you the quick little schedule. New England, beat them or lose them.
I'm hoping they're coming here. I hope we're going to win.
All right, so one win at Baltimore.
Right.
Win or loss?
We're going to win.
Okay. Buffalo comes to Miami. Win or loss?
Win.
Oh, God.
That's three. We're looking at 3-0 so far.
We travel to Cincinnati. Win or loss?
Win.
Are you just going to say all of them are wins?
Well, right now it seems that we're going to win. I'm excited. Let's see. I'll tell you next week after the next game.
But we need the preseason prediction. All right. New York Jets. Win or loss? We travel up to New York.
Win.
All right. That's an easy one. Minnesota comes to Miami.
Remember, there's not any easy ones. We can't, you know, we're going to be traveling up there. You know, a lot of things come into play. The weather, is it, you know, what if it's
the Jets
snowing?
Have not beat the Dolphins in like, I feel, what feels like 20 years, probably like seven.
But they're still rivals and they're still hyped up and the fans are very much there. But yes, I think the Dolphins can.
All right, so you're saying the Dolphins are going 5-0 in the first five games.
I'm hoping, man. And then they're going to give McDaniel a raise immediately if that happens.
All right, well, we'll leave that at that. We're a little over time, so. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Dak and Rick's Pod. Sorry for the month-long pause, but like F1, we took our summer break, and we have a whole other episode coming out about Max Verstappen and his dominance of the F1 sport, but we'll save that for another time as we were talking about football. And football season's back. Let's go. Yeah. We hope to have episodes Thursdays coming out for your preview of the weekend, and then hopefully Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday day type thing where you get your review of the entire weekend. I don't know.
Let's go, Finns. Let's go, Canes. I'm excited. We're moving forward. I think we have a lot to look forward to this season.
Most definitely. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to rate it 5 stars. Be sure to follow at Dak and Rick's Pod, at Dak25_. I don't know. Any final words other than what you said? Nope. Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening. We will see you guys in the next one.